Show me the money.
This is the Money Web Be a Better Investor podcast, picking the brains of professional investors on their investment strategies, successes, and mistakes. Your host, Rake Fanica.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Be a Better Investor podcast. My name is Rake van Niekerk, and in this podcast, I speak to leading professional investors about their investment journeys, and we try to understand how they analyze investment opportunities and whether they've had more hits than misses. The idea is to identify a few golden nuggets of wisdom to help amateur retail investors to become better investors. My guest today is Faniel Tegere. He's the Chief Investment Officer at Balondolozi Investment, and he has been with the firm for a decade. He's also an actuary and a CFA charter holder. Faniel, thank you so much for your time. First of all, tell us a bit about your background. Where did you grow up and when were you first exposed to investments?
Oh, thank you, Rake, for the introduction. I was born in Zimbabwe, in fact, in a small town called Mashingo. It's probably the oldest town there in Zim. That's where I was born. Then I also grew up in the same town, did my schooling there, and obviously for university, that's when I changed. So first few years it was in town. Then for my high school, I went to a mission school. And in terms of my exposure to investments, I think they came in when I was about 10 years old, because most of my life was school. Then during holidays, we lived on a farm. So after every harvest, then we'd go and sell the produce. And in this case, it was beans. We sold that to a local agric dealer there. And then the proceeds from there are the ones that I used for my first investment. It was about $530 then, Zim dollars. And that's when I deposited money in a fixed-term deposit in Zimbabwe there. So that was my first exposure to investments. But obviously, being part of farm life, you plant, you wait for the season, and then when the produce comes, that's when you get your returns. So just generally, I think background, born in Mashingo, exposure, I think it was mainly from the fixed deposit I started then when I was about 10 years old, yeah.
And then you went to UCT in Cape Town,
yes,
and you studied actuarial science. But the normal path of an actuary is to move into life insurance or in the insurance industry. Although there is a trend that more actuaries actually enter the investment world. So when did you decide, listen, I like numbers, but I also like investments?
It wasn't deciding per se. It was just looking at the opportunities there. Obviously, the core skill was numbers. That's what brought me to UCT through the Mets. I think we heard about actuarial science when we're doing the Mets Olympiad. There was an Old Bishop Mets Olympiad then, and an Australian Mets Olympiad that we used to write from Form 1s, you know, up to A levels. So getting there, you know, actuarial proved to be tougher than I thought. And also, I think the background was that I used to do a lot of Mets, physics and chemistry. And then I moved to commercials. So I liked the maths and also realized that just normal finance was a lot of maths as well. So part of my options was to take on finance, which had a lot of investments. That's when I decided, you know what, I think I might also want to spend time doing investments. But in the final year at UCT, we were asked to choose the honors project. And I did that with one of the investment firms. And after the project, they took me in, and that's how I sort of moved into investments. It wasn't really by choice in terms of planning, but it was mainly driven by the fact that I got so much interested in investments after doing the projects and then got a job off that, yeah.
That was prescient, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that was prescient, yeah.
So when did you buy your very first share? As opposed to opening a bank account and being very prudent and putting money away in a fixed deposit account.
Fixed deposit, yeah. It was when I started working, in fact, not at university. It was the top 40. Started working in 2008. There was Best Ends in May and in October. It was just a top 40 index. It wasn't for a long time. It was briefly, because the market had fallen so much and the other team members were buying then. So
was it an ETF?
It was just the index fund, yeah.
And how did it perform?
It was lessons learnt there. There were lessons learnt there. But the next one was obviously Anglo, which I did well then. But for the first one, just lessons there. Yeah.
So
even that 2008 was the best of the years. Yeah.
Yeah, the crash came early 2009, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So it started late 2008 into 2009, bottoming. I think it was March 2009 there. So
what did you
my hands were not strong enough. Yeah.
Well, what did you learn from that? Because many people who invest do see a significant drop in an account quite quickly. Not always, but in some cases. How should you handle it if you're young and you see something like that happen?
Yeah, I think what I saw then was obviously the senior guys or colleagues that held on to that investment, especially if it's shares. You know, the day-to-day price movements, they're always volatile. They seem to be more down than up, just a psychological thing. But if you look 3, 5, 10 years, the equity market has fairly been upward in terms of the trajectory. It's been an upward trajectory there. So I think it's a matter of time. It's staying in the market for time, and you usually find that you start getting your returns. And other than just the price movements, you'll see that there are dividends that come with holding shares. If it's an index, there's always a dividend yield attached to the index. That's part of the returns. So what I've learned is you just want to give it time, especially if your goals are more long-term. Beyond 3 years, 5 years, equities seem to give the returns you expect. Obviously, I mean, from 2015 in South Africa, it hasn't been as good as it was previously. But internationally, you'd have found the same returns coming, yeah.
You are a fixed income specialist, and you can even hear from what you explain, you like the predictability of returns. You know, you're looking at the dividend yield. It's something you need to take in account. I think many young investors don't even know what a dividend yield is.
Yes.
How important should the dividends be in a decision to invest in a certain company, or when does it need to be really, really important?
Yeah, of course, it differs in terms of the type of investor you are. But generally speaking, the price that you pay for any investment or any asset is just the present value of the future income. So the income, it comes in the form of the earnings of a company if it's shareholding. And the other form is dividends if the company is paying out a part of the profits back to the shareholder. So I think it's very important, because whatever price you're paying, it should be the present value of whatever future income, and dividend is a big part of that. And I mean, with all the accounting differences across the world, the best way to see whether a company is profitable or not is the consistency at which it pays the dividend, or the part of the profits that we call a dividend. Mm. So it's very important, yeah.
But most companies who pay decent dividends are established companies earning a lot of cash. And in many other cases, you would invest in a company which is young and it's growing fast, and it doesn't want to, it wants to use its cash to expand. And then, you know, companies like Google and Facebook, etc., dividends weren't on their agenda. They just tried to grow as quickly as possible and drive up the share price. So that's a totally different approach.
Yeah, it's different, but you'd find that if a company is not paying dividend, you can always go slightly beneath the hood there and see whether the company is having positive cash flows. They might not pay a dividend, but they are increasing their bank balance. You know, some great investors, they don't want to pay the dividend because they think that there are more opportunities for them to exploit within the company's business line. So they would have positive cash flows, which cannot be doctored by accounting practices or not. And then they use those positive cash flows to make more investments and not pay the dividend. So even if they don't pay the dividend, you can always assess their ability to generate cash in their business line. So yes, the Googles were not paying a dividend, but then you'd see that they had a lot of positive cash coming in the business, and they were reinvesting that. We know that YouTube was not originally part of Google, you know, and we know that Android was not even part of an investment where they invested in using the cash flows from their initial business. So even if it's not, I think you can look at the cash flows and see whether it's a strong business or not. Yeah.
If you could go back to your to yourself when you were 21, 22, just walking out of UCT, and you would offer yourself investment advice, what would it be?
Start early. You want to start early to invest. Like I said, I think most of the time, I think it's an issue of having or spending time in the market. If you invest, you want to see the benefits of compounding your returns on your investments. And the earlier you start, the more powerful the compounding would be. That's my main advice there. Start early, especially now there are a lot of platforms there that enable people with low amounts to start investing, you know. And I think the other advice would be to start with the indices. I know they're not as fancy as some of the stocks that we talk about. There's NVIDIA now. There were Facebooks and the Googles at some point, the Amazons at some point. But, you know, if you start with the indices, at least you get to learn about the market with the benefits of diversification and the compounding. So I think I'll put that to those two. Spend time in the market by starting early and start with the index funds or ETFs now. I think that helps a lot, yeah.
Let's return back to your investment journey. What has been the best investment you have ever made, the one you are the most proud of?
Okay, that's an interesting question. I've got about 16 years there, and I think one of the advice I got was to just be able to have ownership of where you spend time the most, or where you work, you know. So initially it was to try and buy a small place where I stay, and then obviously to try and have ownership where I'm working. At present, I think they had a scheme where they would give employees shares as you join. So I would say the best one was just being able to have ownership in the companies I worked for, or I'm working for. I think those have been my best investments. And obviously, in terms of the small flat I had, my first big one, it wasn't listed, but I mean, it turned out to be a good investment. So in terms of the listed space, I think it was in the platinum miners in 2018, 2019. That's where I got the most returns in terms of listed. In terms of just general across, it was just ownership in the companies I work for, which are not listed, but it's part of the...
Yeah, well, it's equity, and equity can grow. And your worst investment ever?
It was resources in 2012. Yeah, so it was mainly the resource stocks in 2012. So that's in Anglo's, the BHP's. There's a time we struggled a lot there. Pre to the Trump election, where they came back into favor there. So those have been my worst there.
Faneuil, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thanks for the invitation. Hope to meet you soon, yeah.
Absolutely. That was Faneuil Tegere. He's the Chief Investment Officer at Balondolozi Investments.
Show me the money. That was The Money Web, Be a Better Investor podcast with Rick Fanikap. Thanks for listening. Catch up and listen to all the MoneyWeb podcasts on moneyweb.co.za or the app. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.